Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into our lesson. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning. And we will not cover all the chapter, but we'll cover a pretty good portion of chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, and we'll do that. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessings upon our day today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come and ask of you to bless once again at this time, at this place, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us, that you would, Lord, just do a work in our life. Lord, we're a very needy people. We need to hear from heaven today, and we pray that you would do just that, speak to us. Lord, help us in return to be open and receptive to what you have for us today. We do pray for the service this morning. We pray for your blessings upon the message today. And God, may you bless in a special way. We do pray, Lord, for our missionaries today, and we pray for them, their works, that you would give them fruit for their labors today. I pray that you'd help and supply all their needs. We do pray for the sick this morning. We pray for those that are maybe struggling for whatever reason this morning. We just pray for your people, members of this church, that you would just take care of them, and that you would bless, and that you would answer their prayers this morning. We do pray for the next few moments that we have as we open up your word, as we study, as we read. And God, may we realize that what we read this morning is for us, and it's for the day and age that we live in. It's for today. It's for tomorrow. It's for the week that lies ahead and the life that we live for you here on this earth. And Lord, may we realize how precious time is, and time is short. It's very valuable. Each day that you gift us, Lord, is a very special day, and we pray that we would seize the moment that we have in time to do your will and to do a great work for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin here in just a second, but let me just lay just a little bit of a foundation. I think everybody would agree this morning that I don't know that we quite grasp this morning the dark day that we live in. Now, our lesson this morning is not doom and gloom. It's actually an encouraging passage of Scripture here, encouraging the child of God and how to live life in difficult days. And I think we do live in difficult days. A couple of weeks ago, it's hard to believe that in our own state that a teenage boy could get up one morning and go to school with the intentions to kill his own classmates. That's tragic. That's very dark. And not only in the state of Kentucky, but it's happening around the world. I mean, even this past week, it was supposedly an accident. Some girl took a handgun and a backpack to school, and I think they dropped the backpack. The gun goes off and strikes someone else, doesn't kill the other person. But that person alleges that they didn't know it was a real gun. I find that very hard to believe. I'm not saying that young people can't be a little naive in some areas, but maybe it was. But I'm just saying, very, very dark days. My wife and I were talking the other day a little bit about the incident that took place in Kentucky, and it came out in the news that the individual that shot the other classmates was bullied. And so that's been in the news about the dangers of bullying one another in school. But, you know, when I was a teenager, bullying took place when I was a teenager. I mean, there was always, I bet everybody in this room can go back to when you were a child, you went to school, there was always a bully, right? But it didn't mean we went out and shot somebody, because that happens. Now, I believe maybe today it's a little more advanced with social media. A lot of damaging things take place on the internet and social media and Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and all the other apps that are out there that young people may use. And it's easy to be very critical of someone when you're not face-to-face to them. And I realize that's a big problem. But we do all agree this morning we live in dark days. This world's not getting better, as some religions would like to say. It's getting worse. The hour is darker than it was last week. This year will probably be darker than it was last year. That is the progression of sin. That's what happens when sin runs rampant, and sin runs rampant in our day and age. I mean, it's pretty sad, but we're living in a day, though, that we have a serious problem, And it's time for believers to step up and do their part in trying to make this dark world a better place. It is our job to share the gospel with the world, to share Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes we'll make comments that, for instance, the boy that shot the other classmates in the state of Kentucky, not far from here, what, an hour and a half maybe or so from this very church right here. And people make the statements, well, that young boy, he needs the Lord. Very obvious. And I believe that to be true. He does need the Lord. But, you know, I think we kind of, that's a little shallow, and I don't want to take away from salvation this morning, but we need to understand that it's a person needs more than just salvation. They need the doctrines and principles and the lifestyle of the Word of God. We have to understand that there is a lifestyle that is becoming of a child of God that God expects us to live. That's what Paul is going to address here. He's going to address the Ephesians here and how that as a member of that church and as a child of God, that after salvation there are principles that you live by. Now, in Christianity today, there's not a lot of teaching and preaching on how people ought to live their life. We've got to get back to understanding that the reason that we're different is because of who dwells inside of us, and because who dwells inside of us makes a difference in our life. And there ought to be a difference in our life. But we live in a day and a time where it's hard to see the difference between the saved and the lost. You go out into public and it's hard to know if a person's a child of God or a lost person many times. And I'm afraid that the boundaries that once existed in Christianity have been removed. The boundaries that and I'm going to use this word loosely this morning, the boundaries that once existed in religion are no longer there anymore. Anything goes nowadays. I think we would all agree this morning, you take the average church in America, anything goes. There are no boundaries. And I'm afraid that we have done much damage to the cause of Christ, and I'm not going to blame the world this morning, I'm going to blame the house of God this morning. Because we removed the boundaries that once existed. And you're going to find here that Paul, you must realize Paul's talking to the Ephesians in that church. And Paul's going to describe the do's and the don'ts, if you would, of a child of God. You know, in most churches today, Christians go, and I use the word Christian even loosely this morning. Maybe I should say people go, and they go to a church, and they sit in the pew, and they don't want to be told how to live. They don't want some man of God to get in a pulpit and tell them they've done wrong. Everybody wants to feel like that what they're doing is okay, and they want a pat on the back, and they want to have their conscience soothed, if you would, in a church house. And I'm afraid that that is one of the worst turning points in our nation this morning, is when there is a lack of preaching and teaching of the Word of God from the pulpits of the house of God. Now, Paul's not going to pull he's not going to hold back anything here. He's going to be pinpointed, and I honestly believe the words and terms that he's going to use in this chapter are directed directly at the child of God, because it was a problem at that time with the children of God. And we have to realize now, this group of people, they were saved, born again, but they still have a lot of growing to do in life. And Paul's going to address some of those. You'll find that, and he's going to talk about, let's just jump into it. Chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, look at verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Now the word walk there is talking about your life. How you walk, the lifestyle you live, what you do, what you don't do, where you go, where you don't go. So you'll find here, he says in verse number 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Now, verse 3, he's going to start describing some problems in society at that time, and he is telling them, you don't do this. Verse number 3, he says, but fornication and all cleanliness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. So we find here, what is it, three words that he just starts off with. And even in our lesson last week, we looked at a lot of things that Paul says ought not be a part of a child of God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning, and I'm going to, let me just put it this way. There is a way God expects you to live and a way God expects you not to live in life. Well, I don't like to be told what to do. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to find the Word of God is going to tell you how to live life. But you know what I found to be very true? When I live life according to the Word of God, things work out much better in life. I find that often many of my problems are in life are because I'm not living according to the principles that God established in the Word of God. So he lists three things here. The word fornication. Now, and some of these words are very easy to understand. Some of them maybe we're not as familiar with, but I think we all understand what fornication is this morning. During the day and age of Paul, there was a problem with fornication. By the way, we still have a problem with it in society today. I think marriage is a wonderful institution. I believe this. I believe marriage and the home are institutions designed and created by God Almighty. Fornication will destroy a marriage. It'll destroy you. It'll destroy a church. It destroys relationships. But he goes on. He says uncleanness. What does that mean? And I looked up some words and did performed some word searches. It means the word uncleanness implies impurity and living an immoral life. And Paul says that ought not be a child of God. He goes on and uses covetousness, which is basically selfishness. It's greed. It's coveting, wanting something that's not yours, and even probably willing to go to the extent of getting it even though it's not yours. You know, sometimes we just have to accept the fact God doesn't want you to have something in life. Paul did not want such things to be named among the members of the Ephesian church here. He says in verse number 3, let it not be once named among you. So do we all understand there's three things he starts off right here with in our lesson this morning? Fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. It ought not be a part of the child of God's life. And then he makes the little statement at the end of verse number 3, as become as saints. What does that mean? It means it was not appropriate for the Ephesians to behave and live like an unbeliever. In fact, you're going to find that Paul describes these terms, the things we should not to be, as the lifestyle of what an unbeliever would live like. You know, I've said this often here. We have to accept and understand lost people are going to act like lost people. Lost people are going to do what lost people do, but it shouldn't be the lifestyle of a child of God. That's what Paul is saying here. And I go back to the statement that I made. It's getting hard and harder to tell the difference between the child of God and the lost world, and many times the case is very true that the saved person really doesn't know how he ought to live because nobody ever teaches him how to live. We'll move on here. Look at verse number 4. Neither, all right, so he continues here, filthiness. He says here, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving to thanks. In verse number 4, Paul kind of goes off a little bit here and talks about how that how that your speech ought to be a certain way. The way you talk ought to be a certain way. The way you live your life, the way you conduct your lifestyle, all these things should be a part of the child of God's daily routine. I'm amazed today what saved people say sometimes. My mind goes back to a couple of weeks ago. My wife showed me. I'm not as much into social media, but one of our basketball players' wife posted something on Facebook or Book of Face, whatever you want to describe it as, and I was appalled at one of the statements this person made about their own daughter. And uses a cuss word in the sentence. I don't expect people to be perfect, but I do expect saved people ought to talk like saved people. And I understand there's no one in this room that is sinless this morning. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. But boy, when you get saved by the grace of God, you ought to live like you were saved by the grace of God. What's sad, they put it out there for everybody to read. I don't understand that. Listen, I believe this. I believe that everybody in this room that's a child of God, and I am to believe that everybody here this morning in this room is a child of God. When we leave here, we ought to talk like a child of God. We ought to act like a child of God. You'll find in verse number 5, for this we know. Paul says, we know this. We know all this to be true. Do you mean to tell you why they know it to be all true? Because Paul taught them. Look at verse number 5. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. For this we know. They knew the truth. I think one of the bigger problems that we have today, and I don't know how much we realize this to be a problem this morning, and I think it to be a big problem this morning, I don't know that many today knows what the truth even is. I think this morning, and I don't want to be too negative this morning, but I'm afraid often that I find it to be very true. There's a lot of churches this morning that don't teach people how to live life. The average church this morning is just a social club. They're going to go there. They're going to have donuts. They're going to drink coffee. They're going to have the worldly music. They're going to have a performance. They're going to have the stage, the music, the lights, the smoke. They're going to have all this. They're going to hype it all up. And how many of those people are going to walk out the doors of that church gaining absolutely nothing to help them live the Christian life? We've got a big problem today. You mean to tell you how a teenage boy can go inside of a school and shoot his own classmates? I promise you, you go back and you track down history this morning, we've got a major problem of the breakdown of the home. We all agree to that this morning. We've got a major problem with not only a breakdown of the home this morning, we've got a major problem of a breakdown of the church this morning. Too many young people are going to church this morning. They're not taught about how to live right and live holy and live righteous and live unto God and do right and act right and talk right. The average teenager goes to church this morning and it's just a big party. And it's no secret this morning. I mean, you can search on the internet. I challenge you this morning. Just search the average church in your own community this morning on the internet. Some of them will even show you videos of what to expect when you come. And I'm glad they do that, because there's no way on God's green earth I'd ever go there. It's vulgar. It's so fleshly. I don't even know what the words to use, and the dancing. Some of the videos of some of the churches in our own town, some of the young people that even go to our school, that even play on our own basketball team that I coach and so forth, I'm appalled at, and they call that, you know, they call that church. And we wonder how a teenage boy can go into school and shoot somebody else. Now, I'm not justifying saying that's right. It was wicked. It's undone. It's vulgar, it's horrible, destroying lives and taking away other lives and destroying families and moms and dads, and I understand all that. But there's a reason why we have a problem with it today. This is just my personal opinion. It's not worth anything this morning, but my personal opinion is the reason we have such a problem in society, especially among young people this morning, they are not taught the truths of the Word of God. Big problem today. And I don't know that many can claim verse number 5 where it says, for this we know, or for this ye know, he said. Paul says, you know what to be, you know what's right. You know this is wrong, you know this is right, you know you act like this. Paul says, you know you don't act like that. And the reason they know is because he taught them. Whatever happened to churches teaching people, thus saith the Lord? I'm afraid often that the pastor of any given church in town is afraid to get up and tell the congregation, thus saith the Lord, because he's afraid it may offend somebody. Listen, I've got news for you. The Word of God will offend people. It will. There are some that receive, there are some that reject. That's a part of life. I don't know where we ever got the idea that if we preach the Word of God, everybody's going to love us, everybody's going to like what we have to say, and everybody's going to come to Christ. It's not going to happen. But just because we're afraid that someone may not like what God says in his word, does that mean do we bypass that? And Paul says in verse number 5, for this ye know, that woe unto the one that does know but chooses to follow a different path. Listen to me very, very carefully. If you've been here at this church for any period of time, you know what's right and what's wrong. Now, I'm not saying we know everything about the Word of God. I don't think that there's a soul in this room that knows everything about God this morning. I don't know that there's a person in this room that knows every iota of the Word of God. We're all still growing. We're all still learning. But we've been taught the Word of God. This morning, I think I shared with you many, many times. I grew up in church all my life. I've never known life outside of church. But with all that that I've received in my life, if I choose to go down a different path, woe unto me. Because I do know. And that's what's mind-boggling sometimes. People that know the truth, but yet choose to follow a different path. Woe unto you. Look at verse number 6. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Hey, you better be careful, because there is a wrath of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want God angry with me this morning. I struggle just like anybody else in this room following the path of righteousness and truth and godliness and holiness and living right and living for Christ, doing all that I should. We all struggle because we're flesh this morning. But listen, when you know what the truth is and you know the path of righteousness, you better take that path. You have to understand here, Paul's not talking to lost people. He's talking to saved people. He's talking about the Ephesians. He's talking about the ones that make up the church there. Let me move on here. You'll find in verse number 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Does everybody understand that sentence? Look at it if you would, verse number 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. I've accepted this in life. There are just some people I don't need to be around. Verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse number 8 is pretty simple. You know what you ought to do? You ought to act like a child of God. He says at the end of verse number 8, he says, walk as children of light. That word walk is talking about your lifestyle, the lifestyle that you live from day to day, and not just on Sundays, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Your lifestyle ought to be the lifestyle of a child of God. And let's not fool ourselves this morning. At times it is tough, because we do live in a very sinful, dark world. Verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all. What's that next word? You read them off to me. What's the next first word? It starts with a G. It's what? Goodness. And what's the next word? Righteousness. And what's the next word? Truth. Three things. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the produce. If you go to Walmart, and you come in on the right side, you know, down there by where they're building a liquor store, you know that's what they're doing, right? Walmart's building a liquor store. When you go in on that end, the first, when you first come into the right, is what we call the produce section, right? You see, this morning, the produce of a tree is called fruit. When it says in verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, it's talking about the Spirit and what the Spirit produces. The Spirit produces fruit. Okay? If I go into the produce section at Walmart and I pick up an apple, that apple came from what kind of a tree? What kind of a tree? An apple. How do you know that? Because it's an apple. An apple comes from an apple tree. If I pick up a peach, it came from what kind of a tree? A peach tree. If I pick up a banana, it came from a what? Banana tree. All right. So the fruit tells you what kind of tree that it is. And a banana tree is only going to produce bananas, and a peach tree is only going to produce peaches, and the apple tree is only going to produce apples. Pretty basic. But what Paul is saying here is that a child of God is going to be known by his fruit. Right? That's what you're known for. You're known for the fruit that you produce in life as a child of God. Children of God are known by their fruits. May I also say, if that be true, that also means that false prophets are known by their fruits. We could also say this morning that lost people will have a fruit as well, and that's how that you'll know them, is by their fruit. If you see somebody in society and you say, that person there, he definitely doesn't know the Lord, he's probably lost. Let me tell you why you make that kind of a statement. Because of the way he acts, what he says, his language maybe uses, the actions that he has in life, the way he presents himself, the way he looks. That's his fruit. Right? Am I right this morning? If you think somebody's lost, it's because of something that you see in that lifestyle that would cause you to think to yourself, that person doesn't know the Lord. Are y'all with me this morning? It's because of the fruits that person displays in life. It's the actions that they portray. It's the speech that they give. It's their appearance. It's everything about them. And you walk away and say, man, you know, I don't know if that person knows the Lord at all. But we have to also understand the world uses the same judgment mode as what we use when we look at people. And there ought to be a fruit about you that would cause somebody to say, you know what, I think that person knows the Lord. There ought to be something about our lifestyle that would cause the world to look and say, that person's different. Person looks different. The person acts different. The person talks different. The person, I mean, the entire way that person lives their life is just, you know, something different about them. They must be one of those religious people. By the way, I don't know that that statement's made very much anymore. Because the average person today walking through Walmart, I don't know that you can really tell a whole lot of difference in them. Why? Because we've gotten away from what Paul is doing in Ephesians chapter 5, telling the congregation, the church, there is a certain way God expects you to live your life. To be different. Your speech, he talks about their speech, he talks about their lifestyle, he talks about their walk. He's going into a lot of different details of their life and so forth, describing and telling them that God wants you to be different. Because that's how people are going to look, and what they're actually looking at is our fruits. You'll find here in verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. Now, the word righteousness there basically means right living. living right. Now, we can make this statement, you know, we may say, well, you'll live right. I joke with people, somebody the other night at the ball game, talking about their husband was sick and had to go to the doctor and so forth. And I say, if you live right, you don't get sick, you know. It's not true, by the way. That's what righteousness is. It's right living. Then let's be honest this morning. I doubt very seriously the average of churches today are going to tell their congregation, you'll live right. And you know what? You don't even have to leave it at that. I mean, you can go back through the Word of God, and God starts breaking it down and says, here's what living right is. This is, and Paul spells it out in just black and white here. He gets very pinpointed with them about what it is to live right and what is right living. You find in verse number 9 that last little word, truth. There's only one thing that you possess this morning that's true, and it's actually sitting in your lap. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. God is truth. Christ is truth. The principles of the Word of God, that is truth this morning. Maybe this morning, that's another subject in itself. Churches have gotten away from the truth. Are y'all with me this morning? We make no bones about it this morning. We believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people. We understand that, right? You know what's amazing to me? I've never found one of these far-out, wacko, liberal, fleshly churches that are King James. Could it be this morning that maybe why churches have drifted so far from the principles of God, why churches are to the point where there are no boundaries, anything goes, it's just one big old party and big concert and big what they call praise and worship, and I'm not against praise and worship. We ought to pray. We ought to worship God. But they've taken those terms and misused them. Could it be this morning the reason they've drifted off in those areas? Because they got away from truth. I know for a fact this morning that as Paul describes it, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit in verse number 9, and one of those fruits is truth. Listen, truth is not truth just because you say it. Truth is truth because it's backed up by the Word of God. I mean, I could get up and tell you things I believe to be true in life, but I don't know that I have any backing on it, and I don't know if I can't back it up that it's really truth. The only thing I know this morning that I can totally depend on is the truth of the Word of God. And in the truth of the Word of God, not only do I find salvation, how to become a child of God and how to inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ, not only do I get that, but I also get all these principles that Paul tells us here that ought to be a part of my life because I am a child of God. And when Paul says, back up in verse number 5, where he says, for this you know, the reason they know is because of the truth of the fruit of the Spirit, down in verse number 9. So children of God ought to produce fruit that is the fruit of what we would call the fruit of the Spirit, of what a child of God should be. Let me move on here. Verse number 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And look at verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, what's those next two words? Reprove them. Now, I read this verse several times this morning and made my and kind of noticed a couple of things here real quickly. It says in verse number 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful, what's that next word? That one little word there, works. You see, this morning, it's not that I'm... It's not that I try to separate myself from an individual because of the individual. I have to separate myself sometimes from an individual because of their works. Okay? Do you understand that? Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not better than anybody in this world. But because of the child of God that I am, I do have to protect who I am and what I believe from those works that some people produce. It's called living a separated life. I better take cover. I don't know. Sometimes you got to take cover if you say that because people get all bent out of shape. Oh, here he goes. He's going to try to, you know. I remember somebody in my own family years ago that didn't particularly like the church we went to, and it was a cousin of mine. Said, I'm not going to go there and let some guy yell at me and tell me how to live my life. You see, this morning, God expects the child of God to live a separated life. Separated from the evil, dark works of this world unto God and the way God would have me to live. That should be my ultimate goal every day of my life. Do I always succeed? No. We all fail at times to live the Christian life. You know, do we ever really grasp what we're saying when we say the Christian life? The Christian life is a life that is Christ-like. You know, I find myself a far cry from being Christ-like in my life. You ever find yourself that way? Let my emotions get the best of me. Anger. Sin. Sometimes I don't do a good job at controlling it. Brother Richard, I'm going to tell a story on you. The other night at a basketball game. You know, I've said this to Brother Richard the other night, and I say it to be true very often. You know, sometimes sports brings out the worst in people. It would not be that way, but it does. During the end of the game, the referee ejected a lady in the stands. Tells her to leave. And boy, she lit into him. She said, I ain't never coming back. He said, good. So she proceeds to leave and decides she wasn't done, so she comes back. And Brother Richardson steps in kind of in front of her and tells you, lady, you're going to have to leave. And she lit into him like you wouldn't believe. I just wish that I could be that calm. He's very proper, very calm about it. And after the game, I thought, I am so glad that I was on the other side of the gym and long ways from that. I just don't know if I can. I'd like to think I could, but what if I couldn't? Then her husband got in on it. This reminds you, we are Christian schools. You know, sometimes I don't know if we remember that very often, and sometimes we get our emotions out of check and so forth. Where am I? How did I get off on this story? I don't even know what made me go down this path right here. But there's a proper way to respond and an improper way to respond to whatever life throws at you. And I have no idea this week that lies ahead what is coming down our path. You don't know that either. I just go ahead and accept the fact. You know what? There's going to be some challenges, I think, in my life this next week. I think there's going to be some difficulties. I think there are probably some challenges in the week that lies ahead. I think there's probably going to be a test or two that God purposely probably puts in my life, maybe more than that, this very next week. Now, how am I going to respond? How am I going to react? And I find here that if I incorporate the principles of the Word of God, I will respond in the correct manner. He says in verse number 11, for it had no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? What are we to do? What are we to do with them? Reprove them. What does that mean? It means to expose them. You know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with a pastor of any church getting in the pulpit and warning the congregation about the dangers that exist in our life. Right? Is anybody with me this morning? Because there's a lot of dangers that lurk. There's a lot of works of darkness. As described in verse number 11, it says right here that we are to not fellowship. Am I reading this correctly in verse number 11? I, as a child of God, should not fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Am I correct? By the way, there's a lot of works of darkness taking place. I'm not to fellowship with them, but in return, I should expose them. Now, the reason I think that we are to expose them is when we expose those dangers, it alerts and warns others as well. Verse number 12, he goes on and says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Don't even give them credit. He's talking about the dangers here of darkness, and I've got to move a little faster here. We'll find also in verse number, let me go to verse number 14. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Now, unbelievers are those that sleep, one who is dead. And what is our job? Our job is to share with them the plan of salvation, expose them, and present Christ unto them so that the unsaved, by the way, and they the unsaved desperately needs the gospel. They need to be awakened, if you would. It's our job. It's our commission. It's our responsibility to share the gospel with the unsaved. Verse 15 is a little bit more of a well-known verse. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Paul says there will be a certain way that you walk. That word walk talks about your lifestyle. You'll live right. Bob Jones Sr., years gone by, used to make a statement. Do right till the stars fall. He kind of coined that little phrase, and he would often use it in a lot of his messages. He'd always say, do right till the stars fall. It's an easy statement to make, but I'm afraid so often it goes in one ear and out the other. Just do right. And there should be no confusion about what's right and what's wrong, because God spells that out. God gives that to us. God tells us from his word what's right and what's wrong. You know, I'm glad God does that. We don't get to decide what's right and what's wrong. Did you hear me this morning? I'll word it this way. I'll be a little bit more blunt. You don't have the right to decide what is right and what's wrong. God decides that. He goes on. Verse 16, very famous verse, redeeming the time, because the days are, what's the last word? They're what? They're evil. You know, time is precious. Time is short. Time is valuable. And Paul is basically saying you'll live right because, you know what, you don't have a lot of time. You know, we have no idea. We don't know that we have another day of life. We're not guaranteed that we're going to see the sun go down this evening. We don't have a promise. We don't have any guarantees that we'll actually be back next Sunday. Time is precious. Time is valuable. It's a gift from God. Live every day to its fullest. Do what's right. Live right. Act right. Talk right. Share the gospel with the dark world that we live in. Realize the day is dark. It's dangerous. And you'll do all that you can to protect yourself because you are a child of God. Move on. Let me go on to see here. Verse number 17 basically tells you to be wise and know the will of God for your life. And by the way, God has a will for everybody in this room. Verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Are y'all with? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Well, I've had people say, well, how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit of God? Well, I can go back to verse number 9 and say, well, here's some of the fruits. Do they exist? Are they prevalent in your life? Verse number 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit, so if we're filled with the Spirit, would we not also have the fruits of the Spirit? What are the fruits of the Spirit? It's goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, you can take all three words. You can do a word search there. You will be amazed how many paths you'll go on those three words right there, on what those three words are in the life of a believer. That's another whole study on itself as well. You can do that on your own. Because it's easy to read it and say, goodness, well, I'm good. Righteous, well, I've got the righteousness of God. It's a little misunderstood there as well. And truth. So if we're filled with the Spirit, as we find in verse number 18, then you will also have it known in your life, or it should be evident in your life, those three fruits that we find in verse number 9. Just like if I have a peach, it came from a peach tree, because a peach is the fruit of that tree. If you're a person that's filled with the Spirit of God, then you will have in your life goodness and righteousness and truth. Let me move along real quickly here. Verse number 19. This is a good one. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 19 is a lesson in itself. Talking about music. We ought to do a whole lot of study right here. You'll find in verse number 19 that this verse gives specific types of songs that we should sing as a child of God. Not this New Age movement stuff. Verse number 19, it says right here, speaking to yourselves in, what's that first one? In what? Psalms. So what psalms? It doesn't say song, it says psalms. It starts and says P-S-A-L-M-S. Does anybody know what that is? Not a trick question. It's a book in your Bible. We call it Psalms. Maybe we'll come back to this verse. Verse number 19 says, verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, and what's the next word? Hymns. Anybody know what a hymn is? It's songs, but when you hear the word hymn, what's the first thing you think of? Hymn book. Brother Bradley will get up and say, you know, take your red hymn book. Sometimes he may, do you say hymn book or song book? I can't remember. You call it what? It's hymn book, psalm. I think there are some songs probably in that book. Let's go back to verse number 19. Let me hurry up here. It talks about psalms and hymns and what kind of songs? Spiritual songs, right? We could spend a lot of time right here on music. Music is very, very important. It can be very, very helpful, and it can be very, very damaging. By the way, there's a right music and a wrong music. And we could debate all day long about this and this verse and how it applies to church, and you have to realize Paul he's talking to the Ephesians that make up the church there as well. But we find here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the what? Lord. Most religious music today is not under the Lord, it's under the flesh of those that hear. Most religious music today is nothing more than trying to hype people up. Not glorifying to God. And when we sing, I don't know, are you leading music today, or is Brother Larry? Y'all hadn't sung. You are today. Do you have any song already picked out? No, not yet. My time's out. Let me be, verse number 20, giving thanks always for the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to give thanks. We ought to be a thankful people. We ought to say thank you unto God. Verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's another subject in itself as well, and how the child of God ought to be able to submit himself one to another. When you submit yourselves one to another, it'll solve all church problems. You hear me? Usually church splits are always because somebody's not willing to submit themselves to somebody else in the church. Did you hear me? All church splits is because we can't even follow verse 21 where we're not willing to submit ourselves one to another. When you can't submit yourselves one to another, it shows how shallow your Christian life really is. That's not easy. Submitting yourselves one to another, that's a challenge. Because we're right and they're always wrong, right? Submitting yourselves one to another. Well, let me do this. Let's stop. Our time's out. And I apologize. I did go a little bit longer. Maybe I should have this morning. Let's pray so we can get right into our service this morning. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you for this time that we have, that we can open up your word and look and see that you have so much for us. And God, if we'll just understand this morning that you have so many principles that are just laid out in the Word of God, if we'll just follow your principles and do as you lead and as you instruct us from your Word and live life according to your will, Lord, there's no greater life that we could ever live than just that. We pray that you bless our service this morning. Bless the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.